everyone. This is Dr. Raul Henson for the podcast on the medicine of success. And today we're going to talk about telepsychiatry or telemedicine in short, because the whole concept of telemedicine was for conferences for medical people to discuss cases. And during my fellowship 20 years ago or 21 years ago in Hawaii, because there were different islands, and I was in Oahu, which the main island, and my boss does consultation and surgeries for patients from other islands. And what he does is the follow-ups are just teleconsults. So I was first exposed to telemedicine, or what we call during that time teleophthalmology, 21 years ago in Hawaii during my fellowship. But through the years, this developed into a more sophisticated platform, and the internet is just got faster and faster and faster. And now we have like apps and platforms like Zoom and WebEx that can just have, and you can have conferences, even 3 or 4 or 5 people or even more at the same time. And the reason why I want this episode, because our guest does some teleconsults. She's a psychiatrist, so I call it telepsychiatry. So the title of our episode is Telepsychiatry, Remote Consulting for the Mentally Challenged During the COVID Pandemic. And our guest for today is my classmate from high school, Dr. Fareda Flores. Welcome, Fareds.
Hi. Hi, Raul. I'm your classmate in medicine.
Yes. Kumusta?
I'm fine. I'm here good. In Cebu.
Oh, you're in Cebu. I thought you were in Manila. So you're locked down there in Cebu.
Yeah. Yes. Nice. Yes. Yes.
And I remember we had our classmate Zoom meeting or parang salu-salo a few days ago. And I thought of guesting you because you mentioned that you're doing telepsychiatry or teleconsults for your psychiatry patients.
Yes, yes.
And but before I go into that, we just want to ask you, why medicine and why become a doctor?
Okay. I'm actually from the province of Leyte, and I studied there till high school. And then we have this thinking that if your brother is in med school, you have to follow med school because of the books. So my parents said, you know, you have to go to medicine because your brother is there already and nobody will inherit his books, only to find out that when I was in med school, the books are outdated already. So since I'm there, so I finish medicine in UST, same as you. And then after that, I went into internship in Jose Reyes Memorial Medical Center, and I was invited to be an OB resident, but I said I think OB is not my thing. And so I read in the newspaper that the National Center for Mental Health needed at that time residents, so I went there and applied, and not knowing that they really need a doctor. So I said, maybe I will just occupy my time and, you know, think of other specialization if I will not like psychiatry. And what happened was I finished the 4 years, and after that we have this, we put up a facility, and it's where it all started.
Okay, but your psychiatry journey was by accident. You just saw it in the newspaper. Is that right?
Yes, 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 and prayed for it.
Oh, and being a doctor was just following the footsteps of your brother.
Yes.
Nice. So after, you know, psychiatry is such, you know, the field is kind of secretive, parang ganun, di ba? It's not surgical. And I remember in UST, when we were like students, the psychiatry section had like a, where they placed the patient, parang prison. Is that still the norm now?
Actually, it has slowly it has been, what do you call this, huh? Upgraded, and we have a lot of the reason why we put up a facility on our of our own is that when I was at the National Center for Mental Health, since it's a government hospital, we saw how the patients were, you know, treated. And so we developed, or we made this culture na it should be not like NCMH. So we should treat our patients well. We should value them. We should respect them. And when they are admitted, they should not be idle. So they have a lot of activities so that recovery is faster. And we will not rely on medications only. So we started on going on trainings and put a lot of programs. And that separates us from other psychiatric facilities in the country.
Okay. How many psychiatric facilities are there right now in the Philippines?
There are, in each region, I think there's one government hospitals, but there are only less than 10 psychiatric facilities that is really licensed by the Department of Health.
Yes, so I think that's not a lot for a population of 100 million.
Yes,
so,
yes.
I think you're in the right direction. But before we go to your facility, let's talk about first a little bit on the mental disorder. Do you call it mental disorders? Or what do you call it? Psychiatric problems.
Yeah, it's a disorder. No, it's still it's a disorder. Because the profession has been stigmatized also, not only by the general population, but also the doctors themselves. No, parang if you go into psychiatry, you're of less. I would say, you're treated as a second class
doctor.
Yeah, second class rate doctor. And we always advocate that there's no health without mental health. And now, comparing practice 20 years ago, the general population would seek for psychiatrists now compared to before. Because before, they whenever a patient would go to a psychiatrist, they are labeled to be psychotic or what they call the buang na, right? So yes. Now, it has shifted a little bit because of maybe the social media, and people would go to psychiatrists just to talk, no? So the stigma is still there, but it has lessened compared 20 years ago.
That is very nice, because as you know, mental disorders, once they get treated or something, it can it can go back, right? Magkaroon ng matitrigger siya.
Yes.
So my next question is, what is the most common mental disorder that you experience with your patients now?
With the pandemic, there are a lot of people who are having anxiety and panic attacks. And most of our patients, if they achieve some stability, some of them are going into relapse because of the uncertainty in our times now.
Okay. So the most common mental disorder said is anxiety or stress or is it depression? Is that right?
It's a different anxiety and depression are two different disorders, but they can go hand in hand, or what we call the dually diagnosed patients. But now, as I see it, with telepsychiatry, there are a lot of people, I do not call them patients, that of people who are experiencing anxiety.
Okay, so most of your patients in your facility are depressed patients, or there are other patients like bipolar or manic depressive schizophrenics. Let's talk about your facility. So, in your facility, which kind of patients do you accept?
Oh, we accept almost all who needs help, but mostly they're diagnosed with schizophrenia, bipolar, major depression with suicidal thoughts or threats. And of course, the patients who are abusing drugs, alcohol, and other patients with non-substance addiction like gambling, sexual addictions, and what else?
So almost everything.
Yeah, almost everything.
Okay. How many patients can you handle in that facility? I remember I went there once, maybe a couple of years ago, during our dance practice for our silver anniversary. It's pretty huge. So how many can you handle?
Actually, we can, and that facility is a 250 bed facility, and then we have another one in Cebu. It's also a 250 bed facility.
Oh, so you have two.
We branch out in 2005.
And how about the doctors? Do you have a lot of doctors, or is it just you?
No, our model is it's an open psychiatric facility wherein doctors can bring their patients to us as long as the doctor is a member of the Philippine Psychiatric Association. So at least we were able to screen them out based on their credentials.
Okay, so it's an open facility,
Yeah.
which is good because some psychiatrists don't have like a place to admit their patients, or sometimes hospitals you cannot admit, no,
Yes,
mental
yes,
disorders.
yes.
So my next question is, why do people get depressed?
Well, for a lot of factors, it's a multifactorial condition. But basically, it's the one main reason for being depressed is because of the genes. It's an illness that is hereditary. And with the genes plus the stress in life, it's a perfect ingredient for depression.
Okay. How about if you don't have like hereditary genes, you can still have depression, right?
Yes, you can still have. It's brought about by, poor coping skills.
How
And
about
we
okay.
saw
And how
we
about the depression the pandemic we have now, the
okay
quarantine?
the yeah the pandemic now is causing us a lot of stress, no? Stress during an infectious disease or an outbreak includes fear and worry about your own health and the health of your loved ones. So it can affect our sleep and eating patterns, no? Sometimes we have difficulty sleeping or concentrating. And if you have a chronic health problems, it may worsen. And so therefore, mental illness is a chronic health condition. So it might also worsen, no? And sometimes it can increase our use of alcohol, tobacco, and other drugs. So it's a very stressful, like right now, it's very stressful.
So sometimes when you're staying at home, not doing anything, it's more stressful.
Yes.
And we were talking during our Zoom meeting, and you said, I asked you, can mental issues that have like dissipated can be triggered with this pandemic?
Yes, again, I've been responding to emails because of the telepsychiatry platform, and most of them had history of anxiety 2 years or a year ago or several months ago, and they've been doing good. And because of the pandemic, they're starting to feel anxious again.
Okay, you talked about teleconsults. How do you do your teleconsults? Because remember, we have public platforms like Zoom, WebEx. Can't you just do them in those public platforms? It's cheaper, right?
Yeah, but for telepsychiatry, privacy is very important. So it was recommended, and it is recommended that when you do telepsychiatry, you as much as possible do not use a free platform. You have to you have to consider the privacy issues in mental health.
Okay, like in ophthalmology, we can do teleconsults, but it's limited because, first of all, I need a slit lamp, and if they need surgery, I still have to do them in the hospital. Unlike you, they do teleconsult with a psychiatrist. It's easier, and because I think there's no such thing as surgery, of course. But right there and then, you can really detect the disease, right?
Yes, that's why we really require video calls. There are patients, yeah.
Okay.
There are patients na who would ask, is it possible to just call? And I always tell the psychiatrist on board na please do not allow, because you have to be always on the safe side in your practice. Parang it's defensive medicine, right? Na since the call is recorded, we ask the patient that they have to consent that the call with their doctors are recorded in the cloud with all the security measures, so that when there's a complaint about a certain doctor, we can always go back and you retrieve the recording and do a proper investigation. So the doctor is also protected.
That's very nice platform. It's has a lot of security features, and I think that's very important for psychiatry patients. My next question, how did you come up with your own teleconsulting platform or app?
Okay.
And why?
2 years, yeah, 2 years ago, we're always on conferences like you. Okay. And so in the US, they've been practicing telemedicine for more than 10 years maybe. And so in the conventions, there's always a topic on telepsychiatry. And the main purpose for us at that time was because of the traffic. So patients would have difficult time going to the clinic because of the traffic. And in my case, I practice in Cebu, and my patients would come from Bohol, from Leyte, from Dumaguete. So they would travel 3 hours, take the boat, and come to Cebu for consultation. So I gather a number of patients and ask them if telepsychiatry would be acceptable to them. So I have around 4 patients. They're professional patients, but they help me in the facility. And they said, why not? We can try. So we started, the patients was the one who looked for the developers. They screened the developers. They made the email. They made the first contact. And then we sat down and started planning. It cost us a lot of money at the time, but since we were amazed by how they conceptualized the whole platform, and since then we started to meet every week for the past 2 years. Started Sunday evening. We meet every Sunday evening to talk about and to enhance the platform. And then we started to do beta testing for 1 year. We advertise in Facebook and give it for free. And it was only last December that it was really the web page was finished with all the enhancement. And we launched it last January during the conventions. And of course, psychiatrists did not. They were not interested with telepsychiatry until
but,
such
but
time
right now.
That the COVID was, you know, the pandemic came, and so they were discussing in Viber. They closed their clinic, and they were talking to their patients through Messenger. And I offered it to them, and I said, "Why not try this platform?" And everybody was amazed about how I conceptualized the platform. You can do video call, you can chat with your patient while during the video call. After the call, you can do your progress notes. You can input the diagnosis, you can send them laboratory requests, you can send them e-prescription, you can give them medical abstract, medical certificate, and even admitting notes. So it's basically complete. And what they like most is patients would pay first before any consultation. So in a way, we're helping psychiatrists earn their living. Not that much, but at least they're seeing patients online and they're earning.
That's very nice. I'm amazed at how you thought of that idea, because remember, any your teleconsult psychiatry's app now was just an idea before,
and yes.
Those thoughts became concrete with your ingenuity. So now you have a platform that can other psychiatrists use and at the same time earn money, right?
Mm-hmm.
So when you're doing telepsychiatry or teleconsults, can you do multiple or one at a time only?
What do you mean multiple or one at a time?
Like, for example, there's a doctor, a psychiatrist, who's doing a consultation now during using telepsychiatry. Can another doctor do another one? Is it can you do simultaneous or is it just
yes.
by appointment?
No, we can. You know, I have 60 psychiatrists on board. And there's no limit on how many psychiatrists can do consult every day. We get at least 30 bookings every day. They can, the system was develop in such a way that we can do simultaneous consultations. One psychiatrist would do consultation at 1 to 2. Another psychiatrist also would do consultation at 1 to 2. It's not a problem.
So this helped very much your doctor friends or psychiatrists, and of course, all the patients benefited from this.
Yes, the patients would email their feedback after its consultation. And what the general feedback is, they are relieved that they can still see their psychiatrist even in this situation, in this enhanced community quarantine. And a lot of feedbacks would say, thank you for doing this platform because they have an avenue for consultation. So it also motivates us to improve on the to enhance on the functionality of the platform.
I'm very impressed with your project, Dr. Faredz. I'm proud that you're my classmate. No, because all, you know, in especially in this crisis, how are you going to earn money? Me, I cannot even go to the clinic. Patients cannot go to my clinic. But at least you're offering a platform to other psychiatrists so they can also treat their patients, earn money, and at the same time, patients are happy, and at the same time, you are happy because you're also earning, right?
Not that much, hopefully.
Not that much.
Hopefully.
Yeah, but it's a start. Remember, you started December.
Yeah, December. But we were only 3 psychiatrists at that time. And then the influx of psychiatrists started March 14.
Wow, that was during the start of the lockdown.
Yeah, during the start of the lockdown.
So all in all, what can you say about your telepsychiatry experience to our listeners?
Actually, my patients would say, and most of them would, even if the community quarantine is would stop on the 30th, they would remain to be with the telepsychiatry platform because they will not go to the clinic anymore and beat the traffic and wait in the clinic lobby of the doctors for a long, long time. So at least in telepsychiatry, you book your appointment, you wait for your time, and wait in the comfort of your home.
That's very nice. And patients will be happy thanking you. Psychiatrists will be happy also thanking you. So it's a win-win-win situation. So now we talked about telepsychiatry, about psychiatry. Now let's just talk about your secret to success, Fareda, Dr. Fareda. You know, you're my classmate. We were in med school how many years ago? Many, many years ago. But all of us were in equal footing during that time. But now, some classmates go to the States, some classmates are here, and some classmates make it big. And I think you are one of them. Now, what is your secret to success?
Okay, I think it's more of hard work and being true to your patients, serving them well. And maybe another one is do not stop studying or enriching yourself with knowledge. After med school, after my residency training, I went to business school at the Asian Institute of Management. And then after 7 years, I went another business training for women. you know, from the Asia and the Pacific. And then last one was with the business Harvard Business School on managing healthcare delivery. So I think I'm the person who really wants to learn more and work hard. I think that's what I have been doing for the past 25 years of my practice.
That is very nice, you know, classmate, Dr. Fareda. And as you know, hard work entails focus, hunger, and passion. I'm sure you have that. And at the same time, what you're doing with, like, going to business school and other stuff is like educating yourself more, so that it, just in case anything comes up, like any business model, like this teleconsulting, you're actually ready, right? So with that, Dr. Faredz, I want to thank you for being our guest in the Medicine of Success podcast. Can you say a last or your last few words to our listeners? Anything you want to impart?
So let's all be safe and let's be stress-free, hopefully. And pray to God that this pandemic will be over.
Thank you, Dr. Faredz. Why don't you also tell us your website and where you're located, your clinic, before you go?
Oh, yeah, we're in Cebu and in Pasig. You can visit our website, aepp.recoveryhub.ph.
Can you repeat it again?
It's aepp.recoveryhub.ph, or you can Google Recovery Hub Philippines.
Okay. On that note, thank you, Dr. Fareda, for being our guest. Hopefully, our listeners learned a thing or two regarding psychiatry, mental disorders, and teleconsults and telepsychiatry. So that's all, folks. Stay safe, be safe, keep safe, and God bless.